Oh, And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him.
Yes.
And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And after all the children of Israel came nigh, he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 34, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with them. How many of you know that when a man or a woman is called into the presence of the Almighty God, that it will leave its mark on them? How many of you know that when you come from the presence of the Lord and the Lord speaking to you, that you will look different? for the glory of God shining from your face.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
2 Corinthians chapter number 3. We will refer to Apostle Paul's teaching from this scripture in Exodus chapter 34 as he applies it to the modern day church, which would be us-ins, you-ins, and we-ins, and y'all, and you's guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is one of those easy connections. Apostle Paul directly referencing this Exodus passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded.
Right.
For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the veil, the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart.
Glory.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah, yes.
But we all, A-L-L.
Yes, hallelujah.
I'm not talking about laundry detergent this morning. But every single one of us, all of us with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we are so thankful today for this gathering of your church. And we are so thankful today for the holy ground that we are treading upon. We are humbled, O God, and we are shaking, O God, today under your power, under great fear and reverence for how awesome it is that you are. We're so thankful, O God, that even in our great reverence and fear, that your wonderful love comes and soothes our souls today. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we give you all honor and glory. And we bless that name above every name. We need to change, church. We need to have a change of hearts. I need to change. Pastor Rob needs to change. When I go to the prayer closet, the thing that always jumps out at me when I walk into that little private place is this one thing. I need to change.
Yes, Jesus.
Isaiah chapter. This is not an unusual phenomenon. I don't believe it's something that we all sense and feel. When prophet Isaiah chapter 6 of his book walked into this vision and walked into this vision of God's great temple, the Bible says that he fell on his face.
Yes.
And the first thing that the man of God, What an awesome thing. This is a man of God.
Right,
and he's been preaching for a good king, King Uzziah. And this man is such a man of God that God is giving him a vision.
Right, amen. Yes.
And yet, in his righteous, pristine state, no doubt in comparison to all of the other people who are just running about, busy about their daily lives and worrying about prosperity, feeding the hungry mouths, etc. Here is a man of God concerned about God and the things of God and kingdoms and kings and the word of God and promises. And when he comes into this vision, he falls on his face. And the first thing out of his mouth is he says, I need to change.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There are those who know that they need to change, but can't quite figure out how to get it done. All of you here that know you need to change and you're struggling with that, figuring out how to make it happen, can I get an amen?
Amen. Yes.
That would be most of us, eh? I'm not going to get into the details of Isaiah, but I like the way God handled it. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for God. God can change us.
Yes.
He has the power. He doesn't even have to touch us himself.
Right. Amen.
But at his command, we can be changed. There are those who don't think they need to change or don't want to change. They believe that they're fine the way they are. And then, of course, there are those who are changing. Little by little. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little. And of course, the truth is today that we all need to change. We all need to be changing for the better. You know, I'm talking about our spiritual life. I'm talking about how our spiritual life and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ expresses itself in our life. We all need to change for the better. And I'm not talking about any kind of change, but when I say that we need to change for the better, I mean that we need to become more and more and more. We need to hear less about Peter and less about David. We need to hear less about Solomon and less about Abraham. We need to hear less about Paul and less about John.
Right.
We need to be more and more like Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The only way to become more like Jesus is we have got to be able to see Him. There must be an unveiling of our minds. There must be an unveiling of our hearts. There must be a pulling back of the curtains and the blinds. What do they used to call those things, those heavy curtains that they used during the winter to keep out the cold and to keep out all of the sunlight? What do they call those things?
Thermal.
Huh?
Thermal grates.
drapes.
Right.
Leave it to the seamstresses to figure that one out. We need to pull back the drapes and let the light flood in to our souls.
Yes. Hallelujah. Holy God, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. What does it say in John chapter 1, verse 14? That the Word became flesh.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
What does it say? That the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we beheld. Hallelujah. And we beheld the glory. We beheld His glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace.
Hallelujah.
And truth. We have got to pull back the blinds.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The curtains, the drapes. And we have got to let the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine into our hearts.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We have got to look intently, daily, longingly into the face of Jesus Christ until His image is burned into our hearts and minds, to stay there in His presence long enough until His radiance shines out from our own face. And the Bible says when Moses came from the presence of the Lord, he told the Israelites what he was commanded to say.
Right. Hallelujah.
And his face glowed. Isn't any wonder when Paul, writing about these things, how did he write so prolifically and so amazing? I'll tell you how. Because the Bible says that in the book of Acts, when he, before they had changed his name to Paul, he was known as Saul. And the Bible says that he was traveling. The Bible says he was breathing out threatenings. My God, he was ate up with destroying the witness and the testimony of Christ from the face of the earth.
Right.
He had letters of approval. He was ate up with pride and resentment and bitterness.
Yes, amen.
Blinded to the light.
Right.
Driven in the darkness of his soul. And the Bible says that as he traveled on the road to Damascus, that a great light shone down from heaven and it knocked him off of his beast. And the Bible says it blinded his eyes. Literally, it caused scales, amen, to cover his eyes. And then he heard the voice of God. And he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Right, amen.
And what were his famous words in his response? Who
are you?
Are you?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Lord. No wonder when Paul wrote his epistles and letters, in one of them he said, oh, that I might know him.
Amen.
No wonder he wrote in another of his letters that we might know the love of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Which goes beyond understanding.
Right.
that we might experience and know His love that cannot be explained in a logical, rational mind.
Hallelujah.
No wonder He said those things. And He said, "Who are you?" And what did the Lord in His famous response say back to this blind sinner, Pharisee, Jew, lost in the light, lost, darkness of his soul, full of truth, amen, but there wasn't any grace in him. And the Bible says, God said unto him, "I am Jesus."
Right, yes, hallelujah.
Yes.
I am Jesus.
The one that you are persecuting. We have got to get an understanding of who it is that we are serving.
Yes.
We have got to get an understanding of, amen. We have got to stop coming to church to hear Sister Stacy sing and play. Doesn't she sing and play beautiful?
Yes, amen.
You just sit back and go, "Man, that girl got it, don't she?" And it just gets you. You just feel good just being here, listening to her play and sing. But until you walk in these doors, amen, for one reason and one reason only. And that is to enter into the throne room of heaven and see the risen Savior Jesus. His church, amen, and your spiritual life will never, amen, fully experience, amen, all that God has in store. Amen. I like to hear that preacher preach. I love that. Sometimes he's a little bit too serious, but I like it when he tells jokes and says funny things. And boy, he can really preach it. And I like to hear him. The preaching is just so good. He always knows exactly what to say right where I am at. Amen. But until we walk through the doors and we say, "I don't care who the preacher is today. I don't care who the singers might be or what song they sing or what's being played. I'm here to see Jesus. I'm here, amen, to give praise and thanks and worship. I am here to fall at the feet of one called Jesus."
Right.
I believe that when every man, woman, boy, and girl walks through those doors, every Christian ministry, children's ministry teacher, every singer and musician, every saint of God and worshiper, every preacher and service leader walks through those doors. That are promised in the Word will flow.
Yes, Jesus, thank you.
In us.
Hallelujah.
Through us. My God.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Hallelujah.
There are four things that Paul may allude to in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, whereby we can tell whether or not we've been looking into the face of Jesus enough.
All right, amen.
The first of these four things is moral courage. The Bible says when Moses came from the presence of the Lord, he spoke what he was commanded. The Bible says that when Jesus, the Son of God, walked the face of the earth, the Bible said, "The only things that I speak are the things that the Father has told me to speak."
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
He said there in verse number 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." What did the Bible say that they said about Peter and John after he had worked a miracle and they were, the Sanhedrin had convened and they were trying them in their court and they were debating and discussing whether or not these men should be allowed to do what they were doing, but punishment should be meted out? What was the testimony that they had, amen, when the Sanhedrin set them apart?
If they had been with God.
Bible says they took note of him, that they had been with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
How did they take note? Because the Bible says that Jesus did not speak or preach as the Pharisees, but he spoke as one having authority. And when Peter and John spoke, they spoke boldly and plainly. Well, we just worked a miracle. Well, you know, don't you know that false humility in the church? Sister, that was the most unbelievable sin I've ever heard. Well, it was all God. You need to smack that woman in the mouth and say, I'm begging, I think God could do a whole lot better.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
We need to tell people, when you sang this morning, I saw Jesus.
Right, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
When you were worshiping, when you were praying, when you were handing out that food, when you were sharing your testimony, I saw Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When you hugged your child, when you did this, when you said those things the other day, I saw Jesus. And they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. For they were unlearned and ignorant men, but yet they spoke with the authority of the one that they had been with. And let me tell you something, honey. They had been to a prayer meeting, and that's what caused them to speak like they were speaking. You can tell if somebody has been in the presence of Jesus just by the way that they talk. I'm not talking about somebody that runs off at the mouth and tells everything that they know and tells everybody everything they think they need to know. That person has not been with Jesus nearly enough.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bible says this wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthy, sensual, and devilish.
Right.
It's not plainness of speech. Plainness of speech, you can tell it. It's almost like the person is not even saying anything. It's like God Himself is directly communicating.
Yes.
It's like the Word of God is coming right from their mouths. And you just feel it burn inside of you. The Bible says the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Christ's resurrection, amen, that they were walking with Jesus, and Jesus hid from their eyes. Amen. Jesus hid from their eyes that they were walking with the Savior Jesus after His resurrection, and could not see, could not tell that the one they were walking with and talking with was Jesus. My God. Church, how can we, amen, go through our day? How can we walk into the house of God? How can we open up the good book and read, amen, not even realize that Jesus, hallelujah, is walking with us, amen, that Jesus is the one speaking to us?
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus.
They convinced him to come in for a meal, and when he sat down, he blessed the food and he broke the bread. And the Bible says when he blessed the food and broke the bread, that immediately their eyes were opened and Jesus disappeared. And what did they say? They said, did not our hearts burn within us while we walked and talked with him in the way? Amen. You know that somebody has been with Jesus, because when they're speaking on his behalf, their words will burn in your soul like a fire. Amen. The prophet Jeremiah said his word is like a fire that shut up inside of us. I'm here to tell you something, church. If you get into the presence of Jesus, when you walk into the break room at work, even those people are going to stop and take note of you. Amen. When you walk into the presence of sinners, amen, your mouth and your heart and your mind is not going to be busy running off and saying all kinds of ignorant things that you have no idea what you're talking about. Trying to fix problems that you don't even have the power to fix. Amen. You're going to begin to speak, and you're going to begin to say things. Amen. And you're going to begin to converse. Hallelujah. Woman, give me some water from this well. Jesus didn't have to say complicated things, amen, to start a conversation, to change a life, to save a city. Yeah. Jesus just had normal, average, everyday conversations, amen. But the power and the burning of the Word was inside of Him. He was the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. And saints of God, if you haven't been in the presence of the Lord, we can hear it in your speech.
Hallelujah.
My God, my kids can hear it in my speech.
Right, amen.
You probably talk amongst each other. Y'all better be quiet now and behave. Dad's in a bad mood today. That ain't the fire of Holy Ghost preaching coming out of him today. That's the fire of 45-year-old testosterone dipped grouse coming on in him today. You better go hide in your room. Time to get in the truck steering and go for a drive. Because you know somebody's getting grounded before this day is done. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. There is a frankness, a boldness of speech that comes to the people of God. We don't think twice about giving glory and praise to Him. We don't back down in a conversation where somebody questions our devotion to God.
Right.
And we don't push our way and press our way and abuse people and say things to them and about them and hurt them. Amen. But when we speak, amen, the words burn. Amen. Not because they're like what James said, like the tongue is set on fire of hell. That's not the kind of fire, amen, that I want resting on my tongue. Amen. I want the fire of that is cloven tongues, that has been imparted by the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. That when I speak, amen, that people may be set on fire, but they're like the burning bush. God spoke out of it, but it didn't get consumed. Amen. I'm talking about speaking a word from God, from the heart of God. Amen. From the heart of Jesus, from the love and the face, amen, of a suffering Savior. That's the kind of way that you can tell if somebody has been with Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy. The second way you can tell if somebody's been with Jesus is they have spiritual vision.
Right, amen.
The Bible says that their hearts and their minds were blind. God is doing something that He's never done before.
Hallelujah.
Back to Exodus chapter 34. Here, God is doing something He's never done before. He's coming down on a mountain in a visible, physical presence. Started at the Red Sea. The Bible says trumpets are sounding. The Bible says that earthquakes are shaking.
Yes.
And fire and lightning and thunder and clouds of darkness are rolling off of Mount Sinai. God is coming down in His divine glory to be with His people.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And all they wanted to do while this was going on was to play games. You can tell somebody's been with Jesus because they clearly see what is and what isn't good and right. They're not blinded by sins and lusts and pride and all of those things. They're not wound up and entangled up in the cares of this life. But they clearly see just exactly where they are, where God is, and where they're going. They have a spiritual vision. The Jews could not look past, amen, a couple of days. They could not look past a month. Or a month and 10 days. They couldn't get 40 days out, amen, of the promised land before they were already distracted. They couldn't, they were only 40 days out of the mighty hand of God's deliverance through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And there already was a pillar of fire at night. And there already was a pillar of cloud of glory of God in the day. Amen. There were only 40 days out. And they were camped round about a mountain that was on fire. Amen. That was rumbling. rolling and rolling and rocking and reeling and trumpets were sounding from heaven. Amen. As God's glory touched the earth and went out into their camps. And in just a few days, they lost track and sight of the glory of God on the mountain and at the foot of the mountain in tents. Amen. And out in front, they were worshiping golden calves and having illicit sexual parties and orgies right in front of the mountain of God's glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, honey. You can come to church and you can shout and speak in tongues like a pagan. You can work it up and you can shake it down and you can sweat it out. Amen. And it doesn't elevate you beyond a pagan. You might as well borrow a pocket knife from somebody and start cutting on yourself and put you up a golden calf. Because you have lost focus on the mountain of the glory of God. Lost focus on why we are here. Amen. We are here because we are ambassadors. Not for the United Pentecostal Church International. Not for the Jesus Name United Pentecostal Church. Not for the First Baptist or First Christian. Amen. Or Cumberland Presbyterian. Or Illinois United or First United Methodist Church. We are here because we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Back on Jesus. When the saints of God look unto Him, even the Bible says in the book of Psalms, when they looked unto Him, when they looked unto Him, when they looked unto Him, I believe Psalm 34, when they looked unto Him, what does it say? Their faces were lightened.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't want my eyes, my mind, my heart to be blinded. All the things that are going on, that I lose sight why I'm here. The third thing that he says is there. In verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. You remember Jesus said that I will pray to the Father and He will send another Comforter to you. And He continues on and says, and I will send the Comforter to me. And he continues on and he says, I will come to you.
Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And live in you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes,
Jesus. Freedom.
Hallelujah.
Not freedom to do as you please. Not freedom to go back off, get back on the word there. Scratch that illustration. Not freedom to do as you please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. All the graces most difficult to develop as a Christian. All the character traits of Christ to manifest, the most difficult and the most important is this grace of humility. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, you can tell if somebody has been looking into the face of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when you come out away from looking into the face of Jesus, and when you come out away from reflecting His glory, amen, and staring longingly into His eyes, You come out away from meditations upon His life and His miracles and His sermons and His friends and everything that He did. Amen. Something starts to change inside of you. Amen. There is a humbling that happens. There is a breaking down of pride within inside of us. Amen. It gets digested. Amen. And it gets excreted. Hallelujah. The only thing that's left, amen, is the power and the nutrient and the graces of God inside of us. Oh my God. Hallelujah. There's more pride in the church these days, amen, than probably we have seen in a long time. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Ain't no preacher going to tell me how to live for God. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. But serve one another. Well, the Bible says that a man should seek out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, let's see a little bit of that then.
Right, amen.
You ever seen anybody that was fearful and trembling for their salvation? One of the first places they run is to a preacher.
Right, amen, yes.
I'm just preaching what the Holy Ghost tells me to preach. I got one page of notes, and let me tell you something. 1, 2, 3, 4, it's that big. I'm telling you, and let me tell you something, baby. I don't sit around brooding about, oh, I'm going to say yes. And if this person's at church on Sunday, I want to get in with that.
Right.
But a lot of times when I am preaching, I feel things in the Holy Ghost, and I feel spirits and oppositions in the Holy Spirit that will give me things to say, and I will come against those things with the truth of God's Word. I will shine the light of the Word, amen, on those things that are in our lives, my life and your life, that prevent us, amen, from being unified in the Spirit of God. For there is only one Spirit, and all things emanate from Him, and He is the head of the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time that the church has a change of heart, amen, and gets its heart and its mind back on Him. And only speak those things plainly and clearly and boldly that God tells us to speak, and only motivate and chase after those prizes which the Spirit sets before us to chase after. Amen. And only in humility as we love and serve one another. Hallelujah. I'm not free, amen, to do as I please, but I'm no longer bound by sin. I'm no longer. See, the problem is when we're in the world and when we're in the darkness of sin and we're lost and away from God and away from the truth, we do things we don't have any control over. We say things that we don't have. My wife was talking about going to school, and sometimes she said she just can't even stand to eat lunch with the people that she goes to school with. Because every other word out of their mouths, F this, F that, F this, F that, F this, F that, H-S-H-I-T this, and F this, and F that. And she said the sad thing about it is a lot of them call themselves Christians. I told the church Sunday night, last Sunday night, I was witnessing to a young man, and he said, if God would appear before me, I'd tell him to sit his ass down right here, and I'd ask him some questions and make him answer some questions and tell me what I want. Thank God I've been with Jesus for the Patrick that morning. I listened. And then the Spirit spoke. And I said, no, if the Lord came down here, He would tell you to sit on your ass. And I didn't say that word, but I said, He'd tell you to sit down here. And He asked you, what are you doing with the life that He gave you, with the breath that He put in your lungs? And you're wasting it away. He wants the questions answered just as well.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if we're not in the presence of God, we can't talk like that. And so I'm back to my message. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. I'm not bound by sin to say things and do things. Even where my flesh comes in, the Holy Ghost says, hey, you.
Right. Amen. Yes. Thank you.
You belong to me now. now. Come on now.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Where the devil clotheslined me and knocked me flat on my back. Amen. The Lord steps in and blocks. And he says, you're mine now. We're working together. Amen. Amen. I'm going to protect you and defend you. And you are going to be my witness in this earth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen. I'm free. I'm not bound to hate. I am free to love.
Yes.
I am not bound to pump my ego up. Amen. But I am free to humble myself and serve you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Finally.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
In verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Or poor Kay and Tara, they've been away for a while. They haven't been back to hear my preaching since I went on vacation.
Sounds good.
Yeah, amen.
Final thing. Paul mentions in this little passage in verse 18. That is, we have moral courage, speaking plainly and boldly, spiritual vision, mind and heart unblinded in the full light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shining into us. And then true liberty in the spirit, freedom in the spirit of God, and finally a Christ-like glory. We are changed.
Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus.
With open face. Let's all stand together, if you would, at this time. I need to bring this plane for a landing. Air traffic control had me going around extra times. Open face. Looking into the mirror of the glory of the Lord are changed into same image. From glory to glory. We're getting a little bit more like Jesus every time we go into the prayer closet. If you're a 5-minute prayer warrior, you're going to have 5 minutes of victory. If you're a 5-minute prayer warrior, you're going to look like Jesus for about 5 minutes, so you better ration it out. I'm not saying that we need to punch a time clock. The Bible does say that Jesus prayed all night long. What am I preaching today? We need to have a change of heart. We need to get our focus back on Jesus. What did Jesus do? That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, he fasted 40 days in the wilderness. No, that's not what the Bible says. Oh, I'm going to fast 40 days. Jesus, that's not what the Bible says. You need to read it. It says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. You're going to be led into the emergency room in your ignorance. Well, how many a pastor has visited a well-meaning saint in the emergency room, on the verge of death? Am I against it? Absolutely not. But you better be like Jesus if you're going to do it. You better be led of the Spirit. And I don't see Jesus fasting all the time. I just see him doing that once. And if he does fast, it's not because doing it on purpose. He was at the well of Samaria. The disciples were in the city trying to buy something to eat. They're all starved to death. My God, we're hungry. Let's go find some food. And they come back and find Jesus talking to this harlot.
Right. Yeah.
Having a conversation with a hooker. Makes the skeptical mind wonder what he meant when he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He said, I'm not even worried about food. My meat is to do the will of my Father in heaven.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus.
And finally, the final thing that Paul alludes to in this little passage of Scripture is that we will take on a Christ-like glory. Changed. The word in the Greek is metamorphosis. And of course the Greeks don't say it exactly like that, but that is where our English word comes from. Our English word metamorphosis, what insect do we always associate with metamorphosis? That is a Greek word. And in verse 18, where it says change into the same image, that Greek word is metamorphosis. That we are slugs, that we are caterpillars, slinking around, chewing on things, or whatever it is that we do. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. We are bound and hindered. Amen. And we're a sitting duck target. But when we get into the presence of Jesus, and we begin to look into the mirror of His Word, and we begin to sit in His presence, and we become metamorphosized. Amen. Wings pop out on us. Color, amen, flows in us. And we cut loose, amen, from that prison of sin and bondage. And we fly away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful.
Being carried on the winds of the Spirit where the Lord takes us. I don't need to tell you today that I feel the Holy Ghost. We can always feel the Lord. There are some veils that have to come off. Let's bow our heads together right here. There are some veils that have to come off. The Bible says it in Acts, the revival in Samaria, and the people had seen miracle signs and wonders, and they had been baptized in the name of the Lord. But as of yet, the Holy Ghost had not fallen on any of them.
Right.
In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul came into a group of disciples and he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" Amen. Since you believe.
Hallelujah.
And they said, "We haven't even heard whether there be any such a thing." And how were you baptized? We were baptized in John's baptism. So he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And when they were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy and magnify God. For from the Old Testament into the New Testament unto this day and time, amen, when the Spirit of the Lord takes hold on an individual's life, they will speak and prophesy and magnify Him.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, that we could give the Lord control every day. How many of you wish you could give the Lord control every minute of every day?
Yeah.
Oh, but there's so many things I don't want to give up, preacher.
Jesus.
There's so many things I don't want to change. There's so many things I like to do. There's so many things that make me feel good. There's so many things that are done. It's no wonder that Jesus said, "Unless you hate your father and your mother and your brother and your sister, you cannot be my disciple." There are so many things that come between us and Jesus. So many things that come between us and His presence. Amen. But I want to ask somebody today. I'd like to invite the whole entire church to come down to the front and find a place in this altar and just. And if you need to hitch, you can hitch up your whatever you want to get rid of. You can hitch it up to this hitching post up here. Come on, let's lay some things on the altar. If you would just come and lay one.